Winds remain at 155 miles an hour. That's about 1 mile an hour under Category 5. So it's an extremely dangerous hurricane. Moving north at this moment at 12 miles per hour. Again, north. So let's see. It's 110 miles south-southeast of New Orleans, moving north. The pressure is 915 millibars. That's up a little bit. So what we're going to do now, I think, for however long we're going to do it, is to take calls. And if you would please, here's the way we'll line it up. On the first set of lines, I would like people only in the affected area. And by first set of lines, I mean the first-time caller line, the wildcard line, and perhaps the East of the Rockies line. All of those, it seems, would be appropriate for affected area callers. And then on the other two lines, West of the Rockies, International, we will go ahead and take calls because that's what talk radio does. But obviously, people on those lines cannot and will not be in the affected area. So with that, all of that in mind, let us begin. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, how are you, Art?
Well, I'm all right, sir.
Well, I left New Orleans probably 12 hours ago, give or take, and have averaged a little less than 19 miles during this journey, an hour. It has really been a long trek for the last 12 hours.
What highway have you been on?
Everything was very congested coming out. I ended up taking a back road, an old highway, airline highway outside of New Orleans, and took I-90, and I'm about 220 miles outside of New Orleans now, and there's still a steady, there's a caravan, let's put it that way, of cars that are still constantly moving, looking for accommodation, and people aren't finding any all the way to Dallas, really.
Do you have any idea how many people you would talk to who said they were going to stay and try and ride it out?
It's ironic that you say that. My business partners and very close friends, a handful of them have decided to stay. I think that at first they were probably misinformed about the strength of this, and I think that that's probably common for a lot of people.
Boy, they should have been. They've been slamming it on the media. I don't see how you could miss it.
Well, I think there's a lot of people from New Orleans that sort of have a poor psychology about hurricanes. They've stuck through many of them. Last year we had Ivan. It was a very close call. Many people evacuated. And I think that it's sort of people waited a very long time and thought, you know, it's sort of like thought that this was going to escape us.
The Chicken Little Syndrome. The Chicken Little Syndrome. In other words, they got through it before, they'll get through it again, that kind of deal.
Absolutely. I was planning on staying and got a phone call at 6:30 in the morning. And literally overnight, I think this is what happened to a lot of people in New Orleans. All of a sudden, we woke up and it was a different storm. And people had to make changes very quickly. And I think that contributed to the congestion leaving the city. But some of my friends are trying to stick it out. They have natural gas generators that don't run off of typical gas. If they should last for a very long time, they're tapped into the natural gas lines in the city.
I'm curious about something. What does it mean? I mean, when the mayor and the governor say mandatory evacuation, I understand voluntary, but once they say mandatory, what does that mean? Beyond, it means we're telling you you have to get out, but they really can't back that up, can they?
No, they can't. There is in Orleans Parish, there is our neighboring parish, Jefferson Parish. There was something that was addressed by the parish president. He said that if he had the ability to enforce it physically, he would go door to door and ask people to leave. This is something that was incredibly severe. I know that Mayor Nagin in New Orleans tried to find a way to enforce it legally, but it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
The fear is also, there are 35,000 people in the Superdome, and there are a number of plazas that are situated in different levels.
Let me stop you just very quickly so I can be sure of that. You're saying there are currently 35,000 people in the Superdome?
Yes, plus or minus 2 or 3 people, 2 or 3,000, I'm sorry.
Wow.
It's a significant number. And
that's a big number, yeah.
Most of the people that have gone there went with insufficient
supplies.
Ration.
Yeah.
And some people just went with the clothes on their back and a handbag.
So there's going to have to come to be a way to supply these people if the worst scenario comes true. I don't know what they do, airdrops or something.
I have no idea. I do know that National Guard has slowly made its way into parts of downtown New Orleans. I don't know how effective they will be when the water does come, and it sounds like it will certainly happen.
Well, you know, in my mind, when I hear mandatory evacuation, I think, well, okay, the National Guard is going to swarm in. People are going to be going, you know, National Guard going door to door, making people leave. But there probably wasn't time for that kind of thing, was there?
No, there wasn't. At 3 o'clock, when I actually had the ability to leave the city, I got right on the interstate, and I sat there and parked the car for an hour before there was any flow of traffic. It was very difficult leaving, and some people, I think, really just thought this was going to be a very strong storm, but did not realize that there is an enormous amount of water that can breach the levee, mainly from the lake, and it's becoming more and more frightening. I've tried to get in touch with friends in New Orleans and tell them this for hours.
Uh-huh.
That I'm hearing, mainly luckily through talk radio, that this really could be something frightening.
I also wonder how many people are going to be caught on the highways.
Well, I saw a significant number of people that don't have the ability. New Orleans has a high level of poverty. 24% of the people in New Orleans live in poverty,
right,
and they just don't have the ability to leave. And Mayor Nagin was trying to commandeer some public transportation buses.
He mentioned that buildings and vehicles could be commandeered.
Yeah, it was. I do have to give the city of New Orleans and other parishes and police officers and a lot of credit, because they certainly did do as much as they can, and they worked very well with each other, moving from parish to parish, state troopers and government officials worked very well, and a lot of people just really woke up, and that's when the evacuation really began for, I think, a significant number of New Orleanians.
Okay, I've got somebody who's fast-blasted me here, a Dean in San Diego caller, and he says, you know, the United States has never before lost a city. That's certainly true. We have not lost a city in my memory. So he goes on to say, even if no life is lost, too late for that, I guess, what would it do to America to lose one of its biggest cities?
Well,
that's a big one to throw at you, but what do you think it would do to America to lose one of its big cities?
I really
I don't
think
of course
it's hard to digest.
Yeah.
It's frightening, because I think about how much life will change in New Orleans. This is something that many people will never recover from. Everything that they have will be lost, and
yes,
their jobs. There's a lot of small business owners. New Orleans does not have large commerce, and you really start to think about that, how deeply people's lives will be affected.
No, you're exactly right, caller. Listen, thank you very much. I've got to scoot along, but a whole lot of things struck me. One of the things that struck me right between the eyes was the fact that in New Orleans right now, they'll take the cameras around, you'll be able to see there aren't sandbags. Some people, I suppose, have boarded up, but there have been no heroic efforts to sandbag. Pretty much people have taken what they can, their, you know, valuables, things they cannot replace in any way at all, and they've gotten in automobiles and simply left with what little they can carry. Sort of an attitude of, if it's going to happen, there are no sandbags, there's no little heroic efforts that can save this, it's going to be a lost city. And I kind of agree with the person, Jeff, who sent this, not Jeff, Dean in San Diego. It's a question that I would like to throw out for all of you. How would it affect us just psychologically, to lose, actually lose an American city, to have an American city become uninhabitable, what would that do to America's psyche? It's a pretty interesting question. We'll be right back. Very briefly, let me roll over this again. We're asking that people call the following numbers only if you're in the affected area, okay? We'll take your call at this point right away. We're going to plow into calls from all of you. In other words, we're going to do what Talk Radio does and talk to you. So first-time callers, area code 775-727-1222. Now, again, that's for people in the affected area only, as is this number, area code 775-727-1295. And then, of course, east of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-825-5033. A wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. That last caller, in his voice, did you hear fatigue or fear?
Hard to tell. There's an interesting question. I'd have to think about it a little bit. Maybe a mixture.
I just got a report from a friend of mine that's trying to head out of the area there, and he's still stuck on I-10 headed east.
That's exactly what I was kind of trying to ask about. That I wonder how
he was headed to. Interstate or Highway 90 going north.
Uh huh.
And which is, Louisiana has got some of the worst roads in the country.
Does it?
Oh, it does. New Orleans proper is a really nice area, but when you get in the outlying areas, Art, just like the caller said, it's very poor. It's very industrialized. In other words, they don't fix anything until it breaks.
I wonder how many of these poor people are still there, weren't able to get out, didn't have any bus come by with National Guard people to pull them out.
You've got a lot of them, and I guarantee you that, and I'm guaranteeing they're on their knees praying right now. Maybe some of them don't even realize what's happening. But, look at Whitney hit on something about the energy crisis, if this was to hit New Orleans proper. Actually, south of New Orleans is Houma. You got Morgan City. You got pretty much, I know you have two refineries there. You may have three now. They may have closed one down in the past. But a lot of folks don't realize that when refineries, your gas trucks that come to your local gas stations, they don't go to the refineries to pick their oil up. Everything is piped out.
My God, sir. I'm reading CNN headline news right now that the price went up $3 already.
Oh, come on.
No. That's not the price of gas, I guess, but the oil futures, that kind of deal. But $3.
Well, what I was trying to say is that all the gasoline, after it's refined, is put in pipelines and sent to regional centers. And if anything happens with that pipeline, or the refinery shuts down for even a day, maybe 3 days, your gas is going to go up $0.50 a gallon.
That's
immediate.
Yeah, they're saying that about 600,000 barrels is pumped every single day. So, holy mackerel.
I cannot sleep right now. I know I've got things I have to do tomorrow, but I could not go to bed this morning.
The same problem I've been having. In fact, I had that yesterday morning. The news was breaking all over the place about this. It was in the middle of that strengthening when, for a time, it went to 175 miles an hour, and it went to Cat 5 just like that, and I was glued to the coverage. I'm a total news junkie.
When this thing came in, and everybody thought this thing was going to come in between North Miami and Palm Beach, and this little crazy storm, a Category 1 hurricane, took a jog south and tore up some friend of mine's places down in Homestead, Florida.
Oh.
Dumped 16 inches of rain. Then this thing did something they never thought it was going to do, come across the Everglades, go south again, and tear up Marathon, Florida, in the Keys,
right,
and get down into Key West.
Right.
Then it was headed, slapped Panama City, which I'm in Columbus, Georgia, and when Opal came up, which is a Category 5 before it made landfall, hit Panama City and was Category 3, then it came up our area about 220 miles. And we had 60-mile-an-hour winds here in Columbus. And it was just terrible here. And these people here in Nashville, Tuesday in Nashville and in Birmingham, they're going to probably have 75, 80-mile-an-hour winds out in the sun. It's just unreal.
You're quite right. I appreciate the call. I'm sure that's going to occur and worse. This, of course, is going to move, as you might imagine, right toward the northeast corridor. It's going to go over a bunch of mountains. There is going to be terrible flooding and all kinds of things that are going to come of all this. But again, I want to go back to Dean's question of San Diego. I thought it's so relevant in a lot of interesting ways. We never have lost a city. We've never lost a city in the U.S. that I'm aware of. If we were to actually lose one of our major cities, I know it's absolutely unthinkable, but if we did, how would it affect the American psyche? I think there would be a very deep effect indeed. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
This is Ed.
Yes, Ed. Where are you?
In South Georgia. We're getting some feeder bands off this thing right now.
I see.
You know, some rain's coming up outside. I'm sure it's from the same storm. But at any rate, I just heard him say the guy, 35,000 people in the dome.
Yes.
I've heard 10,000 and then I'd heard 35,000, but however many people are in there right now, I used to put lay the turf down in there.
Yes, sir.
And you have what's inside called a micro weather system inside the dome itself.
Right.
So assuming that the dome withstands the storm surge and the wind, and and these people survive that, when the power goes out, it's going to start raining inside the dome.
Yeah, I've heard. My dad told me when I was a youngster, he worked for a company that made very large helicopters. At that time, it was Piasecki.
Right.
And they made the big double-blade helicopters, and they had hangars. They had
CH-47.
That's right. They had hangars for these aircraft that were just gigantic. And
really? It would rain inside the...
That's correct.
That's right.
And so,
but, I mean, I've seen lightning inside the Superdome.
Lightning?
Yes. When you have these little systems, one will form on one end, one will form on another. When they meet, on the outside, you got a negative and positive charge, and you have actual lightning, man. I'm telling you right now.
So it's going to be very, very uncomfortable.
And these people, they say these people didn't even bring, you know, their food, nothing with food or anything like that. It's going to be a mess down there.
I think a lot of them are
probably... I think our prayers need to go out to them.
In poverty, a lot of them in poverty, they probably
right.
didn't have much to bring.
Exactly.
Everybody else who had the ability, had a car, had a friend, had something, got out of the city.
Got out somehow.
I would think.
But they do. I used to put the turf down, and I remember standing at one of the entrances going under the dome, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I looked out, and, you know, I thought a sprinkler had come on inside the dome. Went outside, and a little cloud up there in the top of the dome, and it was raining.
That is so odd.
That is weird, isn't it?
It is really weird. And one anchor standing in front of one of those green screens, you know, with the hurricane plot behind him and everything, was trying to explain something about the hurricane. And the other anchor kept interrupting him, and he went berserk. he threw his papers down and said, "If you'd let me talk." And so that shows you how high the tension is beginning to get in these news reporting organizations. You'd almost never see anything like that on camera, but he got, pretty angry. And so obviously we're all under a lot of tension right now, and I would ask you to consider that also as you decide what you're going to say on the air. Because it is your turn, coming right up. God willing, it won't happen. But again, somehow... the San Diego Fast Blaster caught me, and I've been thinking about it ever since. If we've never lost a city. We've never lost a city. God willing, that wouldn't happen, but if it did, how would it affect the American psyche? How would it affect America to lose a whole city? it's the unthinkable. But I guess here we are, talk radio, so we can think a little bit about it. The worst case scenario, if we were to lose an American city, how would that affect us? It surely would. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello?
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm fine. What is your first name and where are you?
My name is Mario, and I'm in Welch, Louisiana right now.
Okay, where is that?
That's between St. Charles. I'm sorry, I'm on a cell phone. Between St. Charles and Lafayette.
Yes, sir.
And the main thing is it took me 12 hours to get from New Orleans to where I'm at.
Oh, so you're an evacuee.
Yes, sir.
You have a home in New Orleans.
Yes, sir, and I'm very afraid of what's going to happen to my home.
Yeah, I'm sure you are, and I'm sure although you've been driving, so you probably haven't seen much of anything. Are you now in a place where you can, stop and watch the media, or are
well,
you?
I'm fortunate that my wife works for a company that owns a bunch of apartment complexes, and we were able to stop at one of them that had an opening, open residence, and we were able to take it over. But the main thing is what you're saying about New Orleans is I think it will never be a dead city. It's what you're saying. It's an American city. We will be back. You know what I mean?
Mario, if it was essentially destroyed, if this horrible mixture of stuff made it uninhabitable for a very long period of time, do you think the people of New Orleans would want to rebuild where it is now, or would they rebuild New Orleans in a new place?
Just like they would in every Gulf Coast city in along the Gulf Coast, of course they would. It's a great city. It's a city of history and great faith and everything. And we're all looking for this storm that passes by. I mean, I've cried like 3 times today just thinking about what could happen to my own home.
I bet.
I'm sorry, I'm nervous and everything, but just alone, just my home and my other friends' homes and businesses that I know that own there, I'm afraid of what's going to happen to everybody there, and it's really heartbreaking for me.
Mario, are you outside now?
Yeah, I'm actually, there's wind blowing in my ear right now.
I was going to say, I can hear the wind affecting the cell phone.
I'm sorry. I had to get away from the radio because you said to get away from it.
You did the right thing. All right, Mario, so you've got everything at risk back home.
Everything. And I came here with, the titles to my house, my everything that I own and everything, and I'm sitting out here in the middle of somewhere. I don't even know where the hell I'm at, to tell you the truth. and it's just a heartbreaking situation, We don't know what we're going to go back to.
Are there a lot of people around you, Mario? Are a lot of other people who stopped roughly where you stopped?
Yeah, but they don't. Unfortunately for myself, because of where my wife works at, that I'm able to stay. I'm somewhere that other people aren't able to get to. It's not a regular hotel or anything. It's an apartment complex. But you should see the people alongside the road. The things that I saw today were just. This was the best evacuation I've ever seen from the city. I've been in two others before, and this.
I don't think, Mario, I don't think they've ever evacuated a large American city.
I mean, we evacuated a few times before, but not because we had to before.
Gotcha.
But this is the best one I've ever seen.
So it went pretty well.
It took us a long time to get here, but I think the reason why it took us a long time to get here is because there were quite a few rude people taking the emergency lane roads and covering those up when they shouldn't have been covered up and doing a whole lot of things that shouldn't have been done. But
still, by and large, you think it's gone well?
Oh, man, it's gone great.
Okay, Mario, thank you very, very much for the call. There's an evacuee, somebody who left everything at home and just left, and I guess took, as he said, the deed to the house, that sort of thing. Hope the deed means something. We're watching very carefully. It's a Category 4 storm now. Winds remaining, though, unfortunately, at 155 miles an hour, but downgraded to a Category 4 with about 115 millibars right now. I think 115 millibars is correct, or 915 millibars, excuse me. And that is remarkably low. And that that little fight they had on CNN that I was telling you about, he was trying to explain at the time how really low that was and what that would mean if you were actually looking at your barometer. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I was speaking to you before and got cut off.
Oh, that's right. Your first name is?
Evie.
And where are you?
I'm in Baker, Louisiana.
Baker,
not
Louisiana.
Not too far, about an hour away. And we're getting some rain, but not a lot. But basically, I haven't been able to listen to the show. I've been on the phone with friends, and my friends are just flipping out, and it's starting to just sink in because we're not really accept, because we're all from New Orleans, and we're all, it's not really sinking in completely, and we just go to extremes. We're like, oh my God, the city's gonna be gone, and then the next thing is, maybe it'll be okay.
Did you evacuate from New Orleans to Baker?
Yes.
You did?
Yes, I did, and I have friends in Houston and friends in New Orleans still, and friends just all over the place, Tennessee, Florida. Gosh, I mean, people are just leaving, but I have one friend who is just, his whole family is there, you know, not staying there, but, you know, he just has, they have several homes there and just so much. They all grew up there, and he's just really, really worried, and a lot of friends just going to the school I go to, the university down there, where, you know, what if our school disappears, you know? It's such a cultural mecca. It's just such a wonderful city. And
well, then maybe our friend in San Diego has a good question for you, and that is that if we actually lost an American city, if we actually lost New Orleans, something horrible to contemplate, how would it affect America?
Oh, God.
We've never lost a city.
No, I know. And honestly, I have... This, the thought of it, I think, is really what's making people break down and what's making people freak out, because just to contemplate it when we don't want to, and I don't know, I wanted to call in to say, with all of this mayhem and what you said with the anchor and everything freaking out on CNN, just for everyone, please to just take a moment, and I mean, if you pray, that's your choice, or just try and envision it. Try and envision it going the other way.
All right. All right. Thank you very much. I witnessed that fight on CNN. It's stress. People under severe stress sometimes break down a little bit. I mean, it just happens. It's human. And that tells you how dire this whole situation is. People trying to explain it, people trying to come up with words to convey what's happening or what might happen. These people are under enormous stress. This is, it's one of those moments in history. And we've had others, haven't we? 9/11, things that sort of tweaked the national consciousness. Well, this is one of those things. And so again, I'm not surprised that the Princeton eggs are jumping up and down like Mexican jumping beans right now. The consciousness of America, in fact, the world, I understand this story is really hitting hard in Great Britain, for example, and being followed very carefully around the world. They understand how vulnerable New Orleans is. They understand how strong this storm is. And so this story has taken immediate and almost total worldwide attention. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
What is your first name, huh?
It's Sandra, and I live in Pensacola.
Yes, Sandra.
Okay, the problem we're having, well, we're getting tropical force winds. Our lights are flickering off and on.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, and some of the downtown's already flooded. The two main roads, the bridges are already closed. The problem we're having is our gas stations have no gas.
In Pensacola?
In Pensacola. Now, we get our gas from Louisiana and Mississippi.
Right.
We've already been told we're going to have a gas shortage. Now, then, on top of that, as of Friday, because we thought the storm was going to come in here, some gas stations were $3.09.
Wow.
Now, then, we've got that now. What's it going to be like when we don't have any?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine what's going to happen to the price and the availability of gasoline.
Right. And when Ivan hit here, it looked like a war zone. It looked like Iraq. It was that bad. And I can just heart goes out to New Orleans and to Mississippi.
But at this point, you're way over in Pensacola, and you're getting feeder bands, yes. And you're getting power that's going on and off.
Yes.
Okay, Sandra, thank you very, very much for the report. We'll continue to move through with what we do here, talk radio. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good evening, Art. This is Brian in Bakersfield on KNZR.
Hi, Brian.
Good evening. It's good to talk with you. And I've been trying to collect my thoughts here as best I can, listening to the calls that have been coming in.
Right.
And I know that you have been and were a good friend of the late Father Malachi Martin.
Indeed. Brian, you're going to have to yell at me. You're not too loud here. I've got you sort of pumped up as high as I can get you. So
sorry about that.
That's
Art, that better?
Better, yes.
And I'm sure over the course of the conversations that you were privileged to have with Father Malachi Martin over the years, he discussed with you the aspect of temporal consequence for sin. There are eternal consequences for sin, ultimately, but there are also temporal consequences. That is, those consequences we suffer here on earth in time. And one of those is the natural phenomena, the natural effects of the various actions we perform on earth, some being good and some being deleterious. And we don't seem to think about this until it hits us square in the face, as it were. And people tend to look at themselves and look at the people around them when something bad happens, when something on a huge scale happens, and ask, is it me? What did I do? Did I cause this? Well, the answer is not necessarily directly, but we all play a part in our surroundings and the effects we have on each other and on ourselves. And I would like to take this opportunity to say, first of all, that I'm praying for New Orleans and everyone affected by the impending storm.
It's a lot more than just New Orleans. There are many people that are going to be affected across, you know, thousands of miles.
Of course. But I am a Catholic, and the main reason I say this is that I am convinced that the Catholic faith is true, and I know that many, many people find that outrageous and incredible.
Not of the Catholic faith.
Right.
Well, look, you're basically, this comes down to a God is angry kind of call, right?
Well, it comes down to the reality that we're all responsible, ultimately, for our destiny.
So this is a result of sin.
Yes.
I'm not getting that wrong, right?
No, you're correct.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
But collectively, see, we have a hard time with the concept that we are all sinners. And the fact is that God many times uses one instance of justice to spare many, many other people if we take heed.
And sir, I'm going to agree with you that there's none that walks without sin, not on the globe right now. But I'm not going to cozy up to the concept of this is because of our sin, that this hurricane, this terrible tragedy, may be about to hit New Orleans and whatever other damage and death it produces because of something we did. Not in that way, anyhow. On the other hand, I also don't rule out what you're saying. I'm not a person of great faith. I'm sort of a Christian. I know, I'll get a million emails. You can't be a sort of a Christian. But I still have difficulty with the concept that this is very directly a result of any sin. That's me, right now, anyway. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
This is Brenda. I'm sitting in my car listening to the rain out in the middle of nowhere. It's taking me hours to get here. I'm two states away, and I'm worried to death about these people in the Superdome.
Where are you now, Brenda?
I'm in Daphne, Alabama.
In Alabama. And where did you come from?
Gulfport, Mississippi.
Gulfport, Mississippi.
Northeast quadrant.
Yeah.
Where it would be hit really bad. But you think about all those people in the Superdome. And I really feel bad for any of those people that might be listening to us now. But when they say if you go to the top of the two-story building, you could not possibly be safe with the surges that are coming in, 20-foot surges or so forth, in that Superdome below sea level.
Yes.
And nobody can tell me that it's sin that has caused these children sitting in the Superdome sleeping right now to even have to face that kind of a threat.
Yeah, I don't buy into that concept myself.
No, but I think everybody really needs to be praying for those people right now.
Prayers.
I would have taken everybody I could have out of there. However, the powers that be waited to the very last second, I feel, to have announced this type of emergency because he was criticized so badly last time for saying get out.
Yeah,
It was so late that I could get out. I could barely get out when I did.
Did you wait until it was mandatory? Is that when you left?
After it was mandatory.
That's what I'm saying.
I had obligations at work, but they released me of that obligation. But these people in Louisiana, there's only one way in, one way out. And this fellow, because he was criticized so badly, he waited until there was not a chance for a lot of people to get out. And so many people, there were just a couple people in the car, and they were saying, take a neighbor, help somebody.
Yeah.
And all these one and two people in a car, they could have taken so many people out, but everybody was just frantic by the time that announcement was made. They didn't have a chance.
Well, I can't imagine the political dynamics that were behind this. I knew that it was a very incredibly, incredibly tough call. They have never evacuated a city of this size, ever, in all of our history that I know of. And the implications of doing it alone are staggering. I mean, they know that a certain amount of death and destruction and a lot of things will occur when you order an evacuation of, you know, of this magnitude. They know that. So it's a hard decision to make. And as you pointed out, there was one made before that may have brought additional pressure to bear here. But I sure as hell would not have wanted to be the person making that decision. Would you?
Oh, heavens, no. No. He really jumped the gun last time, I felt like. I didn't think it was that much of a threat. Of course, I'm sitting in the sideline saying it wasn't that bad of a threat. It was a bad rainstorm. That was it. So this time he's on the TV 24 hours before he makes that call saying, maybe I should, and then they're saying, would you send people house to house to try to get all these people out that can't get out on their own?
Yeah.
He just went around the question. He just danced right around it. And then you hear about people that are left in nursing homes. I understood that there was a nursing home, that there was only one staff member left.
Listen to
me. Everybody else took off.
Listen to me. We're coming up on a break. Do you have the ability to hold on?
I'm going to let you go. I appreciate
you. Okay. All right. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. And that all sounds pretty dire. This is Coast to Coast AM, doing what we do in the middle of the night. I will continue now, after the break, into the fifth hour.